The question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Johnny and Preston, you can kick us off tonight.
Hi, Suzanne. Is there a theme to tonight's history quiz? Because I had to tune out for a little bit before the before it kicked in.
Did you tune out, like literally turn the radio off, or did you just, you know, your eyes glazed over and you just did not hear what I was saying?
No, I was transferring from the AM-only radio made in 1974 in my living room to the Sony clock radio made in the 90s in the spare bedroom.
Right.
I had to, like, have it off for a minute. So I'm sorry, Suzanne, I didn't catch every single word you said tonight.
I know. Look, if the ratings people do call you, though, make sure you put down every single minute.
Okay.
Okay, the theme is, this is because, Joni, a few weeks ago, I don't know if you were listening, we had quite the discussion about carpets one night when I was filling in for Phil, and I did say I would attempt a history quiz on carpets. I couldn't quite get a history quiz altogether about carpets. Greta stepped in. We're giving you a history quiz about floors, and
cool.
There's a couple of carpets involved in that.
All right,
so nice. Question one, being banned from meeting him by her brother, Cleopatra was smuggled into a carpet and delivered in it to meet whom? In a famous anecdote written about by the Roman historian Plutarch.
Well, it's got to be Caesar, right?
It was Caesar.
Nice.
And apparently it was actually more of a bed sack, whatever that might be, than a carpet. But the carpet story is the one that has survived because it's a bit sexier than a bed sack, isn't it? Whatever a bed sack is.
Bed sack?
I don't know okay. What a bed sack would be.
Yeah, we should bring that back.
Yeah, sounds like we all need one. All right. This is an easy one to ease you further in, Joni. Which decorative art style adorned many of the floors in both private homes and public buildings in ancient Rome?
Decorative art style.
Yes.
Mosaic?
Mosaic, obviously.
Nice.
Okay. And I have one more ancient Rome question in this section, Joni. Question three, and this is back to Julius Caesar. As he was assassinated, Caesar was said to have fallen to the floor directly in front of a statue of whom?
I'm guessing it's something poetic. So like a Roman god of some kind, Jupiter?
No. It was okay. Not. It's not quite
just
that poetic.
A vaguely Roman thing I've heard of. All right. Good night, Suzanne.
Hey, thanks, Joni. Nice to talk to you. Let's talk to Stuart in Victor Harbour. Hi, Stuart.
I thought it was Richard Burton that Cleopatra thought. Wasn't it?
I've never seen the film. Did you watch it back in the day?
No, I thought it was. I actually thought it was Richard Burton. I thought it was original footage. Yeah, I know. I did see it. It was with Liz Taylor. I don't know if Liz Taylor. I think it was. It was in it. I think it was one of the. Apparently, she made it so difficult that it took a long time to produce. It was very difficult to manage or something.
Mm. You know what these stars are like, Stuart.
I guess after your performance of that poor guy there with just missing that run with the radio. Yeah, I do see that. My ratings.
Harry in the Bay has it. Ray in the Bay also has the answer to this one.
Okay. Well, I don't quite get the seat when Caesar's assassinated.
Okay, so there he is. He's falling on the floor. The knives are going in, and he fell in front of a statue of who? Who also, by the way, gave his name to the building in which Caesar was killed.
Oh, there's going to be something to do with flooring. Oh, he's on the floor. That's what
he's on
mean.
The floor. That's the link.
He's actually the floor covering.
He became it.
I guess he did. What do they call that? Because he was killed in where the senators sat. They stabbed him to death there. Brutus et tu. What do they call that? I'll go Parliament House.
You think there was a statue of Parliament House?
Oh, there's actually a statue of someone.
Yeah, no. So it's a statue of someone, and this person also gave their name to the building in which Caesar was assassinated.
Oh, righto. Well, that's a bit... Yeah, I thought Caesar was the first. Okay. I'll go Mr. McClay.
Also not Mr. McClay. Stuart. Yes, Annette in Perth, you know who this was as well. It is a figure from ancient Rome. Very much, probably not one of the better known ones. Let's see if George in Fremantle knows. If you'd like to be part of our floor coverings, carpets history quiz tonight, 1-300-800-222. Hey, George.
Hi, Suzanne. I hope you had a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, it was nice. It was.
They come around once a year, don't they? So
yes.
You can make the most of them.
Well, in my case, I get my birthday and Mother's Day sort of 3 or 4 days apart, so it's convenient. I can just, you know, demand. They roll everything up into one. So
that's bad planning, isn't it?
I mean, it works in our house because I really have to encourage them to make the effort. So when I say, look, you can cross off Mother's Day and my birthday, or I say, you know, if they don't want to make me a cake, I'm like, come on, it's Mother's Day and my birthday. That guilts them into action. But anyway, they did well. They did very well. George.
Run this past me again. I didn't quite understand the question.
All right. So imagine Caesar. He's just been stabbed. He's falling onto the floor. And apparently he slumps against a pedestal which has a statue on it. Someone who was definitely not a friend of his. Who was this statue of?
Someone who wasn't a friend of his. Good question. Can't say that it rings too many bells. It's a statue of a god or something, is it? That, I mean...
Someone who's not a friend. Someone who was around at the time. All right, it's not a god, and it's a rival.
I think we might be here or not.
I know, and the person also gave their name to the building in which Caesar was murdered.
I thought he was murdered in the Senate.
The main Senate house was actually being rebuilt at the time, so they were going somewhere else that day. Yes.
Crikey, you've done your homework, haven't you?
Greta did her homework in this case.
Sorry, who did it?
Greta, who wrote a lot of the quiz
Greta
tonight.
It's her fault, is it? No, look, I just can't think. So it's a statue of a person, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. So look, you want an ancient Roman who was enemies with Caesar.
I think he probably had lots of them, didn't he? Didn't he have half the Senate was against him?
Yeah, so. I think that's why he ended up getting stabbed 23 times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, I don't know. I can't even think of an appropriate answer, unfortunately. Mm.
All right. Thanks, George.
Thanks. Anyway, see you later.
Bye. Jane knows the answer. So does Ed in Perth. So does Alan in Queensland. Samuel in Canberra is a first-time caller. Hi, Samuel. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Samuel. Do you know whose statue this was that Julius Caesar fell to the floor in front of when he was being stabbed?
Fell to the floor in front of?
Yes.
We're guessing... That took me off guard. Sorry, I'll have to pass on that. Thank you.
No worries. Samuel, thank you so much for trying the history quiz out tonight. Trev in Surfers Paradise, what about you?
What about me?
Well, do you know who this Roman was? An enemy of Caesar's who Caesar fell to the floor in front of a statue of.
God, you're talking enemies and... The only two I know, and it's just from a very inaccurate play about the matter, was Julius Caesar. I think, and this, he had two enemies, Brutus and Cassius. I think Cassius was the one, but that is just a very uneducated guess from an uneducated man.
I think Cassius was definitely an enemy, and I think he took part in the stabbing, but he did not have a statue that Caesar fell in front of. Thank you.
I know it wasn't Wally Lewis.
Definitely not Wally Lewis. Thanks, Trev. Warren in Paran. G'day, Warren. Warren.
Hello.
Hello. Do you know who this this Roman was that there was a statue of that Caesar fell to the floor in front of as he was being stabbed?
Yep. I have to go back to year 12 or year 11 or whenever I was studying this, and it was Pompey the Great.
Yes, Pompey the Great, indeed. I'm sure Caesar, if he could have arranged it better, really wouldn't like to have been slumping to the floor dying in front of a statue of Pompey the Great. But anyway.
No.
Question four, Warren. Our history quiz tonight is themed around its carpets, its floors, its floor coverings. So we'll see what comes up. Question four, which king of Israel was said to have been the recipient of a magic carpet created for him by the Queen of Sheba?
Created for him for what?
Which king of Israel was said to have been a recipient, the recipient of a magic carpet created for him by the Queen of Sheba?
Oh, God. That is going to stump me. And once again, I get one question and then bow out. Thanks, Suzanne.
You've moved us along, Warren, and for that, many people will be grateful. Okay, thanks, sir. Thanks. Yes, Amanda. Yes, Harry in the Bay, Ray in the Bay, Adrian, Maria, Eric, you're all on top of that. Jim in Banksia Park. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Suzanne.
Now, Jim, which king of Israel was said to have been the recipient of a magic carpet created for him by the Queen of Sheba?
As I said to Lockie at the start, I think I'll be floored by the first question.
Nice one.
I have no idea. I'll say Nebuchadnezzar.
No, not that one. Thanks, Jim. Thanks.
Good night.
Lorenzo in Fulham Gardens.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Lorenzo.
Can I just quickly say, Suzanne, Greta, if you're listening, stop making the quiz so hard, please.
Oh, well, I think most of the rest of the questions are relatively easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah, relatively so. I'm the one who often makes them hard. Yeah.
And, right.
Sometimes I look at Greta's quiz, wow, this is too easy, and I make them harder. And then Lockie has to restrain me sometimes. Like, that's too hard. Anyway.
Yes, no. You definitely do make some tough questions. Yeah.
Right, Lorenzo. Which king of Israel was said to have been the recipient of a magic carpet created for him by the Queen of Sheba?
I, Suzanne, would not have a clue. So good night to you. Happy Mother's Day and ciao, ciao to everyone.
You don't have a guess for me, Lorenzo?
No, not an area of knowledge that I have. So couldn't even guess. Sorry.
Thanks, Lorenzo.
Thanks, see ya.
Bye. Lorella, that's it. Robin, yes. Annette in Perth. Alan in Cumnock. You all know the correct answer on this one too. David in Mount Cola. David.
Yeah, hi, Zim.
Hi.
Hi.
Which king of Israel could this have been?
Oh, I think it was me, King David.
Oh, it wasn't King David though.
Oh, no.
That was the other one. Okay. The other famous one.
Yeah. No worries.
Thanks, David. Yes, a few of you were saying David on the SMS too. Barbara in Falconbridge. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, gosh. I had this silly idea of saying Aladdin.
Was Aladdin a king of Israel?
No. So I've changed my mind, but I'm trying to think of a king's name. John.
Not John.
Well, I knew that didn't sound very Israeli, did it?
You'll know this. It's a famous one. You'll know it when you hear it, Barbara, I promise.
Probably something like Canute or something.
I think Canute was one of the Danish kings who went to England, maybe.
Oh, I'm not very good on. I love you, and I like the history quiz, but some parts of history I'm really bad at, including this part, apparently.
Don't worry. Someone will get it, and then we'll be on to some hopefully easier questions. 1-300-800-222. Here's Jono in Gindi. Is it Jono?
Yeah, that's me. Do you even know where Gindi is?
No, I don't.
Central Queensland. It's south of Emerald.
Okay.
About 40k south of Emerald, little tiny place. Tennis club, school, not much else.
Mm. It's a part of Australia I need to get to. Is up outback Central Queensland? It's missing.
Yeah, it's a
from
beautiful
my
part
list
of
the
world.
Moment.
Black soil country. We grow lots of agriculture, and we've got a big dam here that feeds water to, you know, grow lots of stuff.
Now, can you guess a king of Israel for us? Not David, definitely not John, who was said to have been the recipient of a magic carpet created for him by the Queen of Sheba.
Mate, I was with David, but then the only other king I can think of is Solomon, but I'm not sure that's correct.
Solomon is the correct answer.
Oh, no way.
It was Solomon who got the, I mean, look, probably it didn't happen. Probably there wasn't there wasn't a magic carpet. Yes, the legend has it though that yeah, it was delivered to Queen Solomon by the Queen of Sheba. Well done, Joy. That is your first. You're a first time caller, aren't you?
Well, I called years and years ago because this has been on for a long time, but yeah, not in recent times.
Mm. Well, I'll give you some first time caller applause anyway. If you really haven't been here for that long, there you go. Okay, question five. A black and white checkerboard style floor is the signature flooring for the temples and meeting places of which fellowship that dates back to the 18th century?
Which fellowship back to the 18th century?
A black and white checkerboard style floor.
Back to the 18th century. I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah, no. Back on my checkerboard floor.
Yes, which fellowship that goes back to the 18th century?
Nah, I'll get nothing.
Who knows this? 1-300-800-222. I see a half of you have it correct on the SMS already. Yeah, Adrian, Bernadette, Ray, Eric, Harry. Amanda, 1-300-800-222, if you can tell me which fellowship that dates back to the 18th century has a black and white style checkerboard style floor that is the signature flooring for this particular fraternity or fellowship. Matt in Adelaide, hello.
How are you?
I'm not bad. How's tricks in Adelaide tonight?
Say it again. Oh, well, I'm just on my way home to work. It's chilly in Adelaide.
Is it? So it's turned, hasn't it? The season's gone and turned on us.
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. Now, question five. A black and white checkerboard style floor is the signature flooring for the temples and meeting places of which fellowship that dates back to the 18th century?
I'm really disappointed someone else got Solomon. I'm going to say the Masons.
Yes, it's the Freemasons.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
According to the Freemasons, the black and white tiles represent the dualities of life, such as good and evil, joy and sorrow, and the mingled yarn of human experience. That's nice, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Yeah. Are you on speakerphone there, Matt?
I'm just about to take you off.
Excellent.
I'll start in the driveway. Hang on.
Oh, that sounds significantly better.
Excellent.
Okay. Question six. In medieval Europe, rushes were strewn across floors for insulation. What kind of plants were they made from? Were they A, reeds, B, straw, C, palm fronds, or D, weeds?
Where were they?
They were strewn across floors for insulation in medieval Europe. They were called rushes. But what were they? Were they reeds, straw, palm fronds, or weeds?
Reeds.
They were reeds. That is correct.
There you go. I'm on a roll.
You are.
I would have been on more of a roll with Solomon. I had in my head the jingle from the early, it was a Solomon's carpets back in the day.
Exactly. See, that's where they got it from.
There's magic in a Solomon's carpet came to me.
Yeah. See how advertising can help you solve history quiz questions.
That's exactly right. Mm. And then you promised it was going to be easy. I'm waiting.
Well, you got Freemasons, you got the Reeds.
Oh, lucky guesses every way. Mm.
Yeah, now the reeds were typically marsh plants, like which were used to provide insulation, cushioning and a clean surface over dirt or stone floors. Popular culture sometimes depicts them as loose, but they were frequently used in the form of woven mats for daily use or strewn with sweet-smelling herbs for special occasions. Now, Matt, question seven. Secret hiding places were built into English and Welsh manor houses during the 16th and 17th centuries to hide whom? To hide what sort of person? A very particular type of person.
Oh, in the 16th century.
In the 16th and 17th centuries in England and Wales.
Oh, well, that would have been during... during that Cromwell period, so maybe it was like a religious thing. So let's go with priests.
Priests is correct. Do you know which flavour of priest? Although I'll let you have it anyway.
Which flavour? At that point, they probably would have been Catholic.
Yes, they were. And I initially thought that if you were a priest, you had to be Catholic. But apparently priest is actually applied to all sorts of religions. But, yeah, Catholic priests were considered traitors after, the break from Rome that that was going on at the time. So priest holes were secret hiding spaces built into these homes during the late 16th and 17th centuries to hide Catholic clergy from Protestant priest hunters during religious persecutions.
So what have they done with the holes now?
That's an excellent question. I suppose some of these homes would be very, very old. I wonder if they're still there.
I'm sure they would be.
All right. We'll have to find out. Matt, question eight. In the days of William Shakespeare, groundlings could have been found watching Shakespearean plays at the Globe Theatre. What was a groundling?
Groundling sounds like someone who would have been in the cheap seats, maybe in the poor people's stalls in the theatre.
An excellent deduction. Yes, it was an audience member who stood on the ground in the cheap seats. Nicely done, Matt. Now, Amanda is saying that Matt is a good person to have on a flooring quiz. That's good, isn't it? I didn't even think of that when you popped up. Thank you, Amanda.
Oh, well.
All right. All right, Matt, so you're doing well. I think that's, is that four you've got? One, two, three. You've got four. Let's see if you can get five. Question nine. How many queens are buried under the floor in the Chapel Royal in the Tower of London?
Oh, well, this will be a guess, won't it? Tower of London, let's go two.
It is not two. Matt, you had a good run. Thanks so much for being part of the history quiz tonight.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. We have Nadia in Canberra. Hello, Nadia.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Nadia, the question is, we're on question nine in our flooring history quiz. How many queens are buried under the floor in the Chapel Royal in the Tower of London? We have ruled out two.
Yeah, bugger, because I was going to say two. So if it's not two, I guess I'll go with one. Because the other one I'm thinking of may be buried in a courtyardy type area under grass, I'm thinking now.
I'm afraid it is not one. Either. Right. Thanks, Nadia. Sophie from Glen Iris. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. All right. It's not one. It's not two. How many queens are buried under the floor in the Chapel Royal in the Tower of London?
It's a tricky one. I'll guess three.
Three is the answer that I'm looking for. Yeah. Anne Boleyn, Catherine Howard and Lady Jane Grey. Henry VIII signed the execution orders for the first two and his daughter Mary signed the third. Question 10 in our flooring history quiz. The red and green floors in the chambers of our Federal Parliament House is a foundational tradition borrowed from which British system?
The Westminster system.
Westminster is correct. Question 11. Originating in the 19th century, the phrase tread the boards refers to being on a specific floor in what kind of building?
A theatre stage?
A theatre stage is exactly right. Yeah, boards refer specifically to the wooden planks that make up a theatrical stage, which became common in the mid-1700s. And the phrase is similar to, there's another, a French expression, which is monter sur les planches, or planche, to get up onto the boards too. Right, Sophie, what's your favourite floor covering? Are you more of a floorboard, a carpet, maybe you like a mosaic?
I'm more of a floorboard kind of girl.
Floorboard girl, yeah. Me too. I like a good floorboard. Question 12. Which floor covering invented in 1855 comes from linseed oil?
Which floor covering? Linseed oil, which I would think would be sticky for on the floor. I don't know, so I'll just guess parquetry.
It is not parquetry.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Okay, thanks for playing, Sophie. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Yep, Adrian, that's it. Susan and Morgan and Diana and Ray, you've all figured out what this is. Here's Paul in Yass. Hello, Paul.
Greetings and salutations, Suzanne. How are you?
Greetings and salutations. Gosh, that takes me back to the Tony Delroy days. Favourite phrase, greetings and salutes, he used to say.
It was. I must admit that linseed, all I know, is a covering for timber flooring and or used to for preserving timber, but you wouldn't know where the linseed oil comes from?
Which floor covering invented in 1855 comes from linseed oil?
Is that a grain from linseed oil? A grain, all I'd be thinking of, but...
But can you give me a floor covering? I'm specifically after a floor covering.
No, I'm sorry. I'm out of that one, Suzanne. Apologies. All right.
No worries. Thanks very much, Paul. Troy from North Fitzroy. A couple of lines free, 1-300-800-222. Hi, Troy.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Well, now, which floor covering invented in 1855 comes from linseed oil?
Oh, mate, and this is really out there. But anyway, straight up, I want to say something, Suzanne, if you don't mind. And it's a call out for placing Keith in South Australia. Because I went over on bus and train or whatever and to go over and see my nephew and niece. And my great niece, and my sister in South Australia. And there's a place in Keith in South Australia. And, mate, it is one of the nicest roadhouses that I've ever been to in my life.
What was so good about it, Troy?
Because I got a, I reserved snakes and ladders. For my great niece, Tiola, and I reserved it on the Thursday afternoon at Big Run, and I got it back on the Monday morning in Keith.
All right, Troy, can you answer the question for us, which is which floor covering invented in 1855 comes from linseed oil?
It's got to be wax, doesn't it?
It's not wax, I'm sorry. Thanks, Troy. Nice to talk to you. Nice to have a shout-out for Keith. I know we have, is it David from Keith, who's a regular listener? We also have a Keith on the line, Keith from Mollymook. Hello, Keith.
Good morning.
Hi. Do you know which floor covering invented in 1855 comes from linseed oil?
I could only guess at linoleum.
Linoleum is correct. Yeah, apparently it was created by accident. The story goes that one night an Englishman named Frederick Walton forgot to seal a container of linseed oil that he was using as a paint thinner, and then a skin of solidified oil formed on top of the oil, and then he peeled that off, and then he started to think, how could I use this? And hey presto, one of the great gifts to mankind, the lino floor, was born. What do you think of the lino floor, Keith?
I grew up in a house with a lino floor, and in the windy days, the wind used to get under the house and lick the lino.
We've got a lino floor in our kitchen. Gosh, I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Anyway, question 13, true or false for you, Keith? During the 1930s, sawdust was applied to the floors of the Trocadero Concert Hall in Sydney to make them less slippery.
I've been to the old Trocadero when I was younger, but I think that would be true.
It is not true.
Oh, right.
Well, I guess that's a...
There's only one other answer.
Yeah. Whoever I pick next is going to have a good time. Thanks, Keith. Who is up next? Noel in Broadwater. Hi, Noel.
Hello, Suzanne.
Right. The question is this, and I think you've already got a good idea at the answer. During the 1930s, sawdust was applied to the floors of the Trocadero Concert Hall in Sydney to make them less slippery. True or false?
This is what they call a lay-down bazaar, I believe. I think this has to be false.
It is false. In fact, they mix sawdust with kerosene to make the floor there more slippery. And this mixture was known as POPs. They spread it across the dance floor to ensure that it was suitable for fast gliding dancers.
Ah, not for dragging out the ones who'd gone to excess.
Exactly so. Noel, question 14. The teak deck floor of the battleship USS Missouri was the site of the formal surrender of which country in World War II?
In World War II, the teak deck.
Teak deck floor of the battleship, the USS Missouri.
It would have to be off Japan then.
It was Japan. That's right. Yeah, the USS Missouri is actually now permanently moored at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii as a museum ship. And a small rectangle of deck was marked to show exactly where the surrender documents were signed by Japanese officials on the 2nd of September 1945, formally ending World War II. Now, I don't know, Noel, you've been listening for a while. Do you remember Doris, who used to call us, John's mum? Noel, do you remember her at all?
No.
No. Anyway, when she used to ring, she always had a story about, you know, in the history quiz, she always had a story about how she was connected to it. And I remember her telling us that her husband had actually been on the USS Missouri the day that surrender was signed. So that was always a nice story. Okay. You ready, Noel, for question 15?
It depends.
Who was assassinated while standing on a second floor balcony of a motel outside room 306?
Abraham Lincoln?
It was not Abraham Lincoln.
Good night, Suzanne.
All right. Good night, Noel. Is David in Kyneton? Hello, David.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi.
I don't think it's too hard tonight, actually, after all those people complaining. A few questions I've got. Right.
Good. It's all about do the people calling match the hardness of the questions that we've got? Now, we have a lot of texters who can often get an awful lot of them correct on any given night.
The lino one is a dead giveaway because it's actually linoleum, which is short for linseed oil, oleum.
Oh, of course. All right, well, let's see, David, how you go now. Question 15, who was assassinated while standing on a second floor balcony of a motel outside room 306?
That would be Dr. Martin Luther King, perhaps?
Yes, it was Martin Luther King. Yes, this ordinary concrete motel walkway from the Lorraine Motel in Memphis is now preserved at the National Civil Rights Museum. It was originally part of one of the few safe accommodation spaces available to black travellers during segregation.
Okay. Segregated one.
Yeah. David, what would you find beneath a gravel car park on Gertrude Kolmar Strasse?
I didn't quite catch that last bit. Yeah. Gravel.
What would you find beneath a gravel car park on Gertrude Kolmar Strasse?
Well, that's in Germany, probably Berlin. Wouldn't have been Hitler's bunker, would it?
It is Hitler's bunker. Nicely done. Really? Yeah. It still exists 9 to 10 metres below the surface there, but it's sealed. Right, right. It's been partially destroyed. Yeah. There is a little information panel that's set up at the corner there. Lots of tourists like to visit, but you can't really.
Suzanne?
Yes.
Do you know where Cainton is?
I do. I've been there, David.
Oh, you have?
Oh, hang on. You're not Cainton, Victoria. You're Cainton, South Australia.
No, we're Cainton. That's Cainton.
Oh.
Yeah. That frequently got wrong.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Because
no.
you have your South Australian roots.
Oh, are you? Let me see. Are you kind of in the north of Adelaide, adjacent to the Barossa Valley?
Yeah, it is just out of the Barossa Valley between Angaston and Sedan.
On the
Swan Reach Road. Yeah. And if you blink, you miss it.
How many people live there?
Well, the district, they say, is 300, but actually in the town, I don't know, it's probably closer to 200. I'm not sure. Mm. It is getting bigger, though, slowly, unfortunately.
Why is that unfortunate? Wouldn't you rather the community was growing, not falling? Which is the challenge facing so many small South Australian towns,
well,
isn't it?
The planners pick on little places like Cainton and to a certain extent Mount Barker and try to turn them into sort of dormitory towns. And Cainton doesn't have a proper water supply or anything like that or sewage or... And some bright sparks wants to turn a paddock into 82 allotments. And so without a water supply, I don't know. Good luck to them.
All right. Fair enough. Now, are you ready for question 17?
Probably, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's give it a burl. Question 17. In November 1961, Queen Elizabeth II danced across the floor with the president of which African country?
1961. Now, I was alive, actually. I was working up in the bush. I'd arrived in 1960 from the UK. So that one probably escaped me, African country, probably a South African one. No, hang on, yeah. No, because she was in South Africa when her father died. I remember that. Now, look, I'm going to have to say I better not waste any more of your time.
Well, have a guess. Have a guess at a country.
Kenya.
All right. It's not Kenya. No. I think it was Kenya that she was in, actually, when she got the news that her father had died. David, thank you. Rayan Yurunga. Greetings.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. In November 1961, Queen Elizabeth danced across the floor with the president of which African country? It was not Kenya.
She danced across the floor in the country you're talking about, or yeah.
Well, she danced with the president of the country.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it could have been anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
okay, the floor. Nothing to do with the floor. Yeah, anyway, I'm going to just say Zimbabwe.
It was not Zimbabwe, no.
All right.
Thanks,
can
Ray.
I just say, I wanted to hear what you were going to say about Hitler's bunker, actually.
I think I'd finish what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just no, that, you know, really. You can't see anything. They've got a little information panel. Lots of tourists like to go to where it is just to know that they've been near it. But, yeah, not anything to see.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Ian from Dover in Tassie is next up. Hello, Ian.
Good morning. It's going very well tonight.
I'm glad you think so. Has it been going well for you, Ian? Have you got lots right?
It's been going fabulous for me. I've got a few right, yes.
Excellent. Okay. In November 1961, Queen Elizabeth II danced across the floor with the president of which African country? It was not Kenya. It was not Zimbabwe.
It's possibly South Africa, so I'll pick South Africa.
It's not South Africa either.
Good night.
Good night. Few people do know it. Jane from Homebush knows it. Annette in Perth has it. Ed in Perth. Joyce in Perth. Ray in the Bay. All know which country this was. James in Melbourne. Hello, James.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm well, James. Now, Queen Elizabeth II danced across the floor in November 1961 with the president of which African country? Not Kenya, Zimbabwe, or South Africa.
Or South Africa. I'm going to guess Egypt.
It's not Egypt, no.
It's not Egypt. Well, thank you. And shout out to Matt before with 5 questions right. That was fantastic.
He did do well, didn't he?
Thank you.
Thanks, James. Terry in Perth. Greetings, Terry.
How you going? I've been to this place twice.
Have you?
Yeah, and the capital's called Accra, and it's Ghana.
It is Ghana. How did you know about this? Do you remember it from the time, or you've read about it?
I remember seeing a documentary on her life after she passed away, and I just remember, because I'd been to Ghana twice, that it stuck in my mind. Yeah.
I mean, it was actually a big deal because you had a white queen dancing with a black African leader. So it was, the 1960s, it was something at the time.
And the reason she did it is because Jacqueline Kennedy was extremely popular at the time. And she was sort of fading into the background above Jacqueline Kennedy. So she did something a little bit out there. And that was the reason.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought she would have been the jealous type.
No, not so much jealous, but she was still young then.
Yeah.
So she went and had a big dance across the ballroom with this big African fella. And they'd been, they got independence in 1957, Ghana, from the British Commonwealth, but they were still in the British Empire at that time, which wasn't the Commonwealth.
No, but she kind of didn't want them to leave, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. They got heaps of gold over there.
Who was that president that she danced with? We should probably mention him.
Don't know, but Yep.
Oh, Kwame Nkrumah, that's it. Yes, I knew. I knew it somewhere in the back of my mind. I had read about that at some point. Okay, Terry, nicely done. You got that one for us. That did not turn into a West Africa question, which is just as well, even though Ghana is a West African country. Question 18: the shag carpets, popular in the 1970s, actually have an origin in ancient Greece, where they were originally made from the fur of which animal?
I reckon it's like something like an Angora goat, something maybe.
Yeah, well, the answer's goat, so I'm going to take that.
Yeah,
Greek shag rugs known as flocati originated in ancient Greece as early as 331 BC. They had a very distinctive high pile shaggy texture and were hand woven from goat hair, and they were designed for comfort.
Well, do you know how I remember that? This is crazy. When I was a youngster, we used to have these stupid sayings, and we'd say, "You're a sucked-in, spat-out hunk of homogenised Mongolian Angora goat's dung."
Who did you have those sayings amongst? Your friends or your family? Or?
Well, just amongst our stupid teenage friends. A sucked-in, spat-out hunk of homogenised Mongolian Angora goat's dung.
Wow, that is quite the insult, Terry.
Yes.
I don't want to get on the wrong side of you. That's for sure.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Question 19. The Japanese custom of removing one's shoes is thought to have originated in order to protect what kind of floor mat?
A floor mat. I don't know. A Japanese floor mat.
Do they have a name?
I've got a yen to know this, but I don't. So I shall bid you adieu or Israeli or whatever and leave because I've got no idea. I don't know what they call their floor mats.
But Terry, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you for answering those couple of questions for us. Very good to have you on board. We're approaching the business end. Two questions to go. If you want to make sure that you're in with a chance, we need to be on the board, 1-300-800-222. Maybe Cassandra will take it out. Hey, Cassandra.
Oh, hi.
Question 19. The Japanese custom of removing one's shoes is thought to have originated in order to protect which kind of floor mat?
You're looking for the name of a floor mat?
I am looking for the name of the floor mat.
Okay. Let's go a rug.
It is not a rug. Okay, thanks, Cassandra. It's a Japanese floor mat that has a specific name. Lorella knows what that is. So does Annette in Perth and Susan in Hobart, Ray in the Bay, Heather in Pasco Vale. Adrian has it. Some of you have tried. Yes, you too, Eric. Some of you got a letter or two a little bit wrong along the line somewhere. Who's up next? Hello, David in Canberra. David.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Hi.
How are you?
David, the Japanese custom of removing one's shoes is thought to have originated in order to protect which kind of floor mat?
Are they called tatami floor mats?
Well, yes, they are called tatami floor mats.
Yes, yeah. I've been to Japan.
And this brings us to... David, what was the cargo found beneath the floor or the deck of the Mary Celeste when it was found adrift and abandoned in 1872?
I wasn't the cargo.
What was the cargo found beneath the floor or the deck of the Mary Celeste?
There was
Yeah, you'll need a quick response for me, David.
Sorry, was it David Jones Locker?
It's not David Jones Locker, no. Thanks for playing. Oh, it's Amanda in Newcastle. Hello, Amanda.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you for...
How did the soccer match go?
This morning. It was their first loss of the season, actually.
Oh, dear.
Yes, 3-1. But,
oh, dear.
No, they put up a good fight. In fact, they were playing a team who have beat them every single time that they have played them over the last 6 years. So we went with low expectations, I think.
Oh. Well, that's good then. You weren't disappointed.
No, not too much. Beautiful day too. It was very nice to be out.
It was lovely. I just wanted to reassure you, a couple of people were saying that it was terrifying talking to you last night with the quiz. I just wanted to reassure you that it's not terrifying talking to you. It's just the whole process is terrifying.
But Amanda, you have overcome that fear and here you are.
Oh, no, I haven't. I'm shaking.
Oh, no, you're not, are you?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, but this is for the win, Annette. Yeah. Does that make you even more afraid?
No, because you've called out quite a few of my correct answers tonight, and I think I know the answer to this.
Okay. Question 20 for the win. What was the cargo found beneath the floor or deck of the Mary Celeste when it was found adrift and abandoned in 1872?
I think it's alcohol. They were
Well done, Amanda.
This is my first nightlife magnet, and I have been listening for years and years and years. So I'm very, very happy.
That's right. You texted earlier to say, oh, I'm sure the magnets are sage. Not that I've seen one, but Amanda, you are about to see one.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
That's great. All right.
Hang on the line, Amanda. Lockie's going to grab your details and he will get that out to you. Thanks to everybody who took part in our floor-themed history quiz.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.